Hi, this is Matt with EDUCAUSE, and joining me now is Michael Sessa, Executive Director of the Post-Secondary Electronic Standards Council. We're here in Dallas, Texas at the 2006 EDUCAUSE Annual Conference. Michael, first, thanks for joining us. Let's get started by learning a little more about your organization. How long has it been around, and what is its mission?
Hi, Matt. Thank you for having me here. It's a great conference, and I'm pleased to support EDUCAUSE. PESC, which is our acronym, the Post-Secondary Electronic Standards Council, was founded in 1997 by leaders within the education community itself. So the we call them the practitioners or the business experts, like ACRO, the College Board, NASFA, NSHELP, Pearson, Sallie Mae, the United States Department of Education, EDUCAUSE, and ACT, and a number of other organizations came together in 1997 and said, you know, we keep bumping into this problem that we can't communicate with one another. And these leaders identified interoperability as something that needed to happen and needed the attention of a single organization. And that's really what founded PESC. Between 1997 and probably 2000-2001, we went through all the legal processes as far as incorporating, becoming a 501c3 nonprofit charitable organization, which is where we are today. Our mission, which is a little bit evolved over the years, has always been true to interoperability. But the exact words of our mission speak to the leading the establishment and adoption of data exchange standards in education. And the purpose and the reason why that's important is because we believe that standards help improve institutional performance. And when you foster collaboration across educational communities or sectors, you increase the awareness of the need to be interoperable, and that leads to containing costs or decreasing costs, improving service, and making sure that you're keeping pace with technology, and being able to provide the products and services not only to your students at the college and university, but to your internal customers from one system to another, or one from application to another.
I spent a number of years in the book industry. As you might imagine, some of my time was spent working to interoperate with a number of standards designed to increase supply chain efficiency. When folks think of education, I suspect most do not think of standards as benefiting our institutions in the same way, but I bet there are many parallels. What are some of the ways that your work benefits higher education?
That's a great point, and there are actually more parallels than one might think. It is the exact same condition, in fact. What we find is that the awareness about interoperability in standards needs to improve, and that's really what my purpose here at being a vendor at EDUCAUSE is, and that's why I travel across the country and sometimes internationally to promote the need for standards and the need for interoperability. It takes a level of awareness whereby you hit, and really what happens is you hit a pain spot. That's what happens. If you think of the ATM network with banking, the banking industry realized that money needed to be accessible regardless of where their consumer is. The banking industry came together and developed a process that is now reliable, trusted, is a true commodity, and everybody participates. We no longer think about whether this ATM machine that we see on the street is connected to our bank back at home. We all understand how the process works. We all understand if there are fees or not fees. We know that we can get our money anywhere, anytime, probably in the world at this point. We haven't come to that same realization in education, but it's happening. I think the awareness that occurred during the pre-Y2K days, the 1997, 1998, and 1999, made us all look at our systems to determine, you know, what is going on with our systems, and we realized a lot of our systems were older, and that we had proprietary formats and processes really embedded in our systems. Now that technology seems to be leapfrogging itself, and with all the improvements and capabilities we have on the internet, it's raised people's awareness again about standards, and we're seeing a massive adoption and proliferation of standards. So it does have that same type of benefit to education in that, again, if your standards are agreed upon and reliable between one trading partner and another, what happens? You have better data integrity. You can rely on your data better. It takes less people to support that business process. So you have less people, you have less programming, and you can then realign your resources, whether they be monetary or human, to other important tasks. So there are a lot of similarities, but what we also find, and this is something that's not talked about as much, are disruptive technologies. Everyone wants to be, you know, on the leading edge of having a new idea, but sometimes a leading idea might not be right for the business model. It might not be interoperable, but because there's a lot of hype around something that is new and exciting, people flock to it, and in the end, it ends up causing a few more problems than it has solved. So it's really, standards is not the sexiest of topics. It really takes time. It takes an organization to really know their processes, to do a cost-benefit analysis, and also open up communications with your trading partners. What can they process? How do they respond? How do they support formats and data exchange within their organization? So we really look to create that same type of benefit in education, and it's happening little by little. We know, for instance, in the state of Indiana, that they've adopted our high school transcript and our college transcript, and they're working with what's called the Midwest Higher Education Compact, which is includes 11 states, and looking to adopt our high school and college transcript through those 11 states as well. The state of Georgia has already adopted the high school transcript and the college transcript. The community college system in California has adopted the high school transcript and the college transcript. We know there's activity in Texas and Florida, and we've reached out to Connecticut and Ohio. And we believe that once they put those standards into their systems, that it will lead them to really looking to standardize all of their systems and all their applications. But again, it's one step at a time. So we're happy that we're even moving into Canada, whereby the province of Ontario has adopted our standards.
Yeah. So it sounds like some of the standards are definitely taking root. But I imagine one of the biggest issues associated with standards is, in fact, adoption. When launching a new standard, at what point do you sigh a breath of relief and say, we made it. The standard has reached a degree of penetration that gives it its own momentum.
That's a great question. In a nutshell, never. I can never sit back and say, you know, this is good enough. This is as far as the standard will go. You know, being here at EDUCAUSE, we run into a number of organizations that are aware of us and that are using us, but we are not the IBMs or Apples of the world. We're a small nonprofit association trying to advocate for a big mission. So you are right. You're right on. Adoption is one of the biggest challenges we face. And the key point here is to understand that just because we put out a standard does not mean that an organization is going to immediately flock to it. My last job, one of my responsibilities was heading up product management. Product management simply doesn't run to a standard when it's released. Organizations have made investments in their current data exchange, in their current systems. Maybe they're doing an upgrade. Maybe they're looking to increase business. It's under those two conditions that they're going to look for another investment opportunity that's going to take them a few years into the future. And that's what standards really do, is they provide you an opportunity to plug and play. And for organizations looking to plug and play, they have to realize that the standards can do that for them. The question is, when do they make that decision? And it's usually during an upgrade or a client that's really needing them to do this type of standard, or if they're looking to make an investment in the future. So we understand that it takes time, but we're also finding that many, many organizations have been really desiring standards. Mm-hmm. So we're really filling a need that's out there, and we continue to. So there's a lot of good support.
Well, Michael, I suspect that standards and EDI often go hand in hand, but from what I can remember of my time in the book industry, EDI ain't what it used to be. Are the days of technologies like Vans, X12, and Edifact being replaced with XML and web services, and are the earlier technologies even part of the vocabulary of higher education today?
That's a great question, and basically, yes, they are still in the vocabulary, and they still are being used. Mm. For instance, there are a number of standards approved in EDI under ANSI's X12 committee, such as the transcripts, the admission application, the test score. But what we're finding is, and EDI has been used for a long time and continues to be, there are hundreds of thousands of transactions processed in EDI every month, and we publish those in our monthly newsletter, The Standard. Cool. And that's really administered by the University of Texas at Austin. They have an internet server that they use and is free of charge for colleges and universities to use. Of course, to exchange through the server, they have to be PESCA-proof standards, they have to meet a minimum requirement of security, and they have to register online with the Texas server. But, so EDI is being used daily with hundreds of thousands of transactions. And for those organizations that are using it, it's meeting their needs from one business partner to another. Mm-hmm. But we're also, marketing and promoting XML, because as organizations are looking to build new processes or connect with new partners, they want to build on top of something that can last further down the line into the future. Mm. And with XML, it is, being extensible is easier to manage and to update. Mm-hmm. I get this question a lot. Will EDI, go away or not go away? It will last as long as people need it to last, and will last as long as people are using it. So my message is, you use what you think is going to meet the needs of your training partners, but if you have the opportunity to really look down the line and into the future, and you have the choice, I would say choose the XML.
And how does your work compare and or collaborate with players like IMS, Acro, and others?
That's a great question. Really, in higher education, IMS and PESC are the only two bodies that approve standards or specifications. Mm-hmm. IMS has lived and worked in the learning system, and PESC has traditionally worked in the student information system. Mm. And there are a number of other administrative systems within a campus that lack any type of standards bodies working with them. So we see, I see a great opportunity for IMS and PESC to work more closely together. We are opening communications with IMS and looking for joint opportunities. Mm. So I've had a number of conversations with Rob Abel, who's their new CEO, and he's just on board maybe 6 months or so. But there are lots of opportunities, because we have no problem in supporting IMS and even pointing to IMS should the need come up within the PESC membership. If IMS has already solved a problem, that's wonderful, and we're going to help promote that solution. As far as working with others, we have a very close relationship with Acro, as they are a founding member of PESC, and Speedy got a lot of market awareness because of the EDI standards, which now PESC governs. Mm. And the standards for EDI, and this is where the difference is, the EDI standards you have to purchase from ANSI, and the implementation guides, which help you implement, which were developed by Speedy, are on the PESC website, and PESC governs the standards now. New in XML is we do not charge for the standards. We find that is a barrier to adoption and implementation, which goes to our earlier discussion. Yeah. So what we're looking to do is make standards free, available, as easy and as accessible as possible without even usernames or passwords. That is the best approach to really, really get awareness within education to the place we need it to be. We're also looking at forming relationships with other standards bodies that have not historically had a role in education, such as HRXML, which is an organization that's dealing with XML and employee verifications as such in the human resources world. Education has the same needs for human resources as, you know, any other company that's hiring. So, again, PESC doesn't want to reinvent the wheel and does not want to duplicate efforts. So we're actually trying to open relationships with HRXML as well to see, you know, what solutions we can bring to education and have HRXML be that organization.
Looking forward a few years, what problems do you anticipate standards or perhaps widespread adoption of standards helping resolve?
Well, as far as problems that standards resolve, I think standards are going to come to the point where they are a commodity like the ATM network. I think the ATM network is an excellent model of interoperability that work for the suppliers but also the consumers. We need to bring that same level of commodity and commoditization to education, whereby when you walk up to the ATM network, you don't think about, when I put my card in, is my file and my data going to my bank in XML or EDI? And do I worry about where the period is? Is this $40 or $400?
Right.
When a student completes their admission application online, right now it's a disparate process. Some information might have to be mailed in. You have to contact your prior school to get a transcript, or your high school transcript needs to be sent in. It is a disjoint process. So what we hope is that standards bring about more of a total contained process for the entire ecosystem so that we don't run into these problems and education becomes a simpler item to maneuver through. We find that, you know, students have enough trouble and enough heartache trying to find the right school and get integrated into college campus life, and we find, you know, administrators have enough issues with trying to ensure that their human resources are allocated proportionally. There's enough going on with education. We don't need the data in this, the data to be questionable. It should be a commodity that we have in data integrity, that we have good data exchange mechanisms, that we have a network, in fact. We need the ecosystem network for education, and standards is the only way that's going to get us there. So, you know, I hope that with standards in that network, it becomes easier for everyone.
Well, Michael, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Just my closing thought is, you know, visit our website, www.pesc.org. Shoot us an email online. You can join our mailing list. And we have our fourth annual conference coming up in April. And we hope to have a great turnout for that. And I thank you, Matt, for having me here today.
Well, thank you. And I hope you have continued success and hope you enjoy the rest of the conference.
Excellent. Thank you.
If you're listening to this recording on a remote device, you can comment on this podcast and read entries from our ever-growing community of bloggers at connect.educause.edu. EDUCAUSE is a nonprofit association whose mission is to advance higher education by promoting the intelligent use of information technology. Engage, learn, network, and grow at EDUCAUSE.